Amen. So let's go into the lesson for today, lesson number 3. The name and the title of the lesson for today is The Crown of the Submitted Wife. The Crown of the Submitted Wife. Amen. Now, remember what I told you in the beginning, lesson 1, that this is for especially for women, but men, you can take this prophetic word in as well. But this is a season of alignment, that anything that is you feel like is out of alignment, it could be anything. It can be your finances. It could be your relationships. It can be, your vision, your goals for your life. Anything that it feels out of alignment, this is the season to get back in line, right? To get back on path, to get back on track, the path that the Father has set for you. So this lesson is definitely one of alignment. All of them have been a lesson of alignment, getting women getting back in alignment with the Father to be blessed and to do great so the Father can do great things in you. Amen. So before, of course, a woman is a mother, right? Before she fully walks into her divine purpose, she is first a daughter, then she is a wife. Okay? She is first a daughter of God, then she is a wife. So the transition from daughter to wife is not just a shift in a relationship, right? It's a shift in spiritual positioning. Okay? Now, of course, the word submission, even when we say it, it just seems like it bring up rebellion. Like you just want to get rebellious. Like, I ain't submitting to nobody but the Lord. Then you get religious after that. But the word submission has been literally dragged through the cultural mud. Right? Right? In the world's eyes, it's literally, the word literally becomes synonymous with control. When we think about submission, we think control. Ain't no man finna control me. That's what we think about, right? We think about silence. We think about inferiority. We even sometimes think about abuse, especially if it came through a traumatic situation in our past or something that we experienced with our mothers and our fathers when we were growing up, right? So for many women, especially wives, right, the concept of submission, it triggers pain for some and it triggers skepticism for others. So the enemy has done a very strategic job of twisting a word that was really meant to empower you and to cover you and to elevate you. But we don't often feel those feelings when we think about the word submission. But I'm here to tell you today, and I'm here to actually teach on submission in the correct way in which the Father says this is literally what submission is. So you could start removing those lies of what the enemy has given you, what the culture has given you, even what some of your pain has given you as well. So in God's kingdom, submission, once again, is not slavery. Okay? It's not suppression. It's not loss of voice. It's not loss of identity, even though you might even feel that way. But it's not that. In fact, it's actually the opposite. Now, submission, number one, is divine alignment. So you probably need to write that down. Submission is divine alignment. It is the act of willingly, key word, willingly positioning yourself under God's appointed order. And not because you are less, right? Because that's what we think. But because you desire heaven's flow into your life, into your marriage, and into your legacy. Now, to submit is not to step down, because that's what we think as well, right? Submission is to step into the structure that releases blessings, protection, and authority. So let's take, of course, the blindfolds off. And we're going to reclaim the beauty and the power of true submission, starting with the Bible's own language, right? And not our own understanding. So the language of submission, let's go to, I should have it in, let me go to Ephesians 5 and 22 first. Ephesians 5 and 22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, bring up my definition, should be right behind that. The Greek word for submit is the word hupotasso. The Greek word, because if we're interpreting it, we can't interpret it from Merriam-Webster dictionary. No, that's a Greek word. We got to have the translation in the Greek. So the word for submit is hupotasso. It's a compound word, right? So we have hupo and we have tasso. Hupo means under. Tasso means to arrange, to assign, or to appoint. So in biblical uses, hupotasso is not about dominion and inferiority. It's actually a military term. And it means to arrange troops under a commander in proper order. So it has nothing to do with weakness. It has everything to do with strategy. It means you're going to voluntarily, right? Because remember, we're not talking about somebody controlling you to submit. You're going to voluntarily, as a woman, place yourself in order under a structure or delegated authority. So in the same way, an army is the strongest when it functions in order. The family is the strongest when it flows in the order of God. So God's order is this. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of woman in marriage. Right? So what does that mean for women? Right? Because I gave you the order. I said God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. Now, this means that submission isn't about being beneath your husband. It's about aligning with the headship of Christ. So when you submit to your husband, you are ultimately submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. It's about voluntary alignment, not forced control. So hupotasso is a reflective verb. Now, we didn't go over a whole lot with reflective verbs in high school. Okay, we did not. But I'm going to tell you what a reflective verb is. A reflective verb is when the person that's doing the action, they also are the recipient of their own action. So they receive the benefits of their own actions. So I'm doing the action and I'm also receiving the benefits of my action. Right? So that's a reflective verb. So it's the same thing when we're talking about submission. It implies you're choosing to align. You're doing it voluntarily, but you're going to receive so much from doing it. Amen. So submission in scripture is never about, once again, inferiority. I need you to know that. But it's about divine arrangement. And it's about trust. Okay. Now, in ancient Greek, hupotasso, right, meaning submission, described a soldier placing himself under a commander for the sake of the mission and order. So the goal was for unity and the goal was for effectiveness, not domination. So this is why wives are called to hupotasso, as unto the Lord. Not to be ruled, but to function in spiritual partnership and harmony. So to submit is to walk in the same posture that Jesus walked in. He submitted to the will of the Father, not because he was less, but because he was on assignment. There was a mission that had to take place. Let's go to Philippians 2, 5, and we're going to go through verse 8. Philippians 2, 5 is going to go through verse 8. It says, you must. I don't think that's an option. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Okay, so you're telling me we must. Okay, so what does it look like? He said, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Luke 22 and 42 also says this is his attitude, because he said you must have his attitude. His attitude was saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was his attitude. So I want you to understand the divine chain of command. Don't we have the chain of command in our workplaces? The chain of command is for what? Order. To keep order. If we don't have the chain of command, then how in the world would we get stuff done? Who would we even be accountable to if we didn't have a chain of command? So if there's a chain of command here in the earth, it definitely got to be a chain of command in the spirit, because that's where it came from. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. And it says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. That includes your crazy uncle and your auntie, the ones that don't love God, the ones that are atheist, agnostic. He said, Christ is the head of every man, which includes every woman. It says, and the man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. So this verse reveals actually a heavenly alignment. It reveals a divine order. And it's telling you how power is governed, how it's given. It tells you how authority is given to you. It talks about also the covering. It talks about the glory, the flow from heaven into earth, into our life. So Christ showed us that submission is not inferiority. It's actually power under alignment. And when men and women walk in God's order, heaven actually begins to flow through their unity. So let's break this down layer by layer. So the first one we're going to break down is God is the head of Christ. God is the head of Christ. Now, this is actually very profound because Jesus is fully God. Remember, no one had even seen what God even looked like. So Jesus is fully God. He's equal in nature, essence, power. Yet he willingly submitted to the Father. Isn't that what he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those who was trying to kill him? He was like, I lay down my own life. So he willingly submitted to the Father. Now, let's go to John 8 and 28. And he says, I do nothing on my own initiative. That's profound in itself. He said, I don't move. I don't say nothing. I don't even prompt myself to do anything unless he prompts me to do it. That's definitely not the culture of today. He say, I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. So if Jesus, perfect, sinless, equal with the Father, submitted, then submission is not about the hierarchy of value. It is about the hierarchy of function. So bring up my definitions of hierarchy of value and hierarchy of function. Right? Now, remember I told you submission is not about the hierarchy of value. Submission is about the hierarchy of function. Now, the hierarchy of value is a belief or a system that assigns a greater or lesser worth to people based on your position, your status, or your role. That means that one person is more important or valuable than another. And we know that leads to pride, that leads to oppression, that leads to inequality. So in this sense, an example of this is to say, I'm the leader, so I matter more than you. Or I'm a man and I matter more than you. That's the hierarchy of value. But submission is not the hierarchy of value. But that's how we portray submission in the world, that it has to do with the hierarchy of value. But it's not. It's the hierarchy of function. It is a belief that individuals have different roles and they have different responsibilities, but they are equal in value and worth. So the key idea here is that the function is different, but the dignity is the same. The honor is the same. The love is the same. It's about order. It's not about superiority. Now, let's break down Christ. Is the head of man. Christ is the head of man. We just went through God is the head of Christ. So we're going through Christ is the head of man. Now, Christ is the head of man. This means that every man is called to come under Christ's lordship. Now, every man may not be doing it. Okay. But they are called to come under Christ's lordship. So a man cannot lead. Hear me out when I say this, ladies, especially those that are wanting to get married. Because once you get married, you got to submit, right? A man cannot lead his home. He cannot lead his marriage. He cannot even lead himself unless he is led by Christ. If he is not led by Christ, he cannot lead you. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. And it says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he can't have his own path. There was a path that's already laid for him. There's a path that's already laid for you. You can't lay your own path to say, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, how are you going to do that? You didn't give yourself a purpose. You don't even know what's written in the books about you. Sometimes we're still trying to figure out who we are. That should be really a red flag to let you know you didn't make yourself. So a husband's authority in marriage, I need you to understand this, is not autonomous. It's delegated. He leads under the headship of Christ. That means he has to submit too, ladies. You're not the only one submitting. I'm pretty sure a lot of these brothers would be doing a whole lot of other things, thinking about themselves, their own, doing their own thing. Not, they don't want to have you in mind. They don't want to console you and be emotionally available for you. I'm pretty sure they got other things that they want to do, right? But he leads under the headship of Christ. He has to submit to. He's just not out here doing his own thing. So he leads in humility. He leads not with pride. He serves, he protects, and he sacrifices. So he must seek Christ in order to rightfully lead his wife. So when a man gets out of alignment with Christ, he becomes vulnerable to pride. He becomes passive. And he might even abuse his power. So Christ has to be his compass. Amen? Now let's get into the man is the head of woman. The man is the head of woman in marriage. You good? You almost choked over there. You good? Amen. Now we're getting into the misunderstood part. I know, right? The meat of it all. Man is the head of woman. Now, let's clarify this carefully. Paul is not saying that all women are beneath all men. I need you to understand that. Amen. That's the loudest applause I got today. You guys are funny. He is referring specifically to marriage. A wife that is in covenant with her husband. So in God's divine structure, the husband is called to be the head, not as a tyrant, but a Christ-like leader who provides, who protects, and who sacrifices in love. So Ephesians 5 and 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, the thing about, I know what y'all husbands, y'all getting near, because we getting near too, us wives. But the way in which Christ love the church, you have to understand the church was not perfect when he loved her. But we still got to grow. But Christ loved an imperfect church, right? To the point of death, that Christ may come in and do a brand new work. And that's the part that you have to get, that work that has to be done. I'm not saying that when he marries you, that everything that you brought in with the marriage, you should remain the same. No, what I'm saying is that when you get married, Christ is in you. That means you should be growing. You should be learning. You should becoming a better version of yourself, a better version of a daughter of God, a better mother. If you've already a mother, you should becoming a better version of a wife. You can, and I tell couples, a lot of couples this, I say, once you get married, that don't mean you remain the same. That means literally that's when growth actually kicks off, to be honest with you. Because when you're single, it's like you really don't know what you need to work on until somebody else bump elbows with you and say, have you taken your medication? No, but for real, you really don't know what you need to work on until somebody else gets in your space. So headship equals responsibility, right? Headship equals responsibility. Submission equals partnership. Headship equals responsibility. Submission equals partnership. Now, the wife submits to the leadership of the husband, and the husband submits under the authority of Christ. So it's not, remember, a hierarchy of value. It's a chain of flow. It's glory, it's guidance, it's grace, it's peace, it's blessings, it's a prophetic release, it's a protection flow, but it's only coming through divine structure. So when the structure is broken, the unity is broken, and you need to understand that. And when the unity is broken, the flow is blocked. So let's talk about the divine flow versus the demonic interference. The divine flow versus the demonic interference. Now, the enemy's plan has always been to disrupt order. Look at the garden. Eve steps ahead of Adam. Adam steps back. The serpent steps in. So where divine order is dishonored, deception automatically enters. And you need to know that. I said where divine order is dishonored, deception automatically enters in. Automatically, because that's their domain. Remember, they were sentenced also to rule and to reign and to dominate, but it's in darkness. So when you come out of divine order, you are automatically in their territory. Paul writes this revelation that we just read in 1 Corinthians because during that time, he wrote that disorder was actually creeping into the Corinthian church, particularly concerning roles, honor, and spiritual authority. But God's order, remember, is not to control you. God's order is to release glory to you. So let's bring up my next note here. Yes, that submission is actually used for believers or children of God in many contexts. So when we talk about submission, we're not just talking about wives. It's submission is like a thread in the Bible. He talked about wives, but that's not the only subject of submission he talked about when he talked about submission. So we have submission unto God. James 4:7, he says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We don't have no problem with that one. But it talked about submission. That's the same submission. Then it says, we got submission to leaders. Now, there's some of y'all on the teeter-totter with this one. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give account for you. Then he talks about submission to one another. Ephesians 5 and 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he's not picking on the ladies. So this shows us that hupotasso is not just about wives and husbands. It's a kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle of honor. Honoring the structure, honoring the flow, and honoring the mutual trust. Now let's get into my favorite part. Let's talk about the mystery of the covering. 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to go 7 through 12. Now, if y'all not paying attention to any of what I just said, pay attention to this. Verse 7 says, for a man should not have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake. All right, we got a brother. Where the rest of the brothers at? Come on, speak up. Don't be scared, brothers. Say amen. I gave you permission. The women was outshining y'all. Yes, amen. Amen. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Verse 10, therefore, the woman should have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Isn't that crazy? He said, therefore, the woman should have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. We're going to get into that. Because of the angels. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originated from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. That was a whole lot in there, right? So we're just going to unpack a little bit of it so we can get some understanding. Now, he says a man should not have his head covered because what did we just go through? Who's the head of man? Christ. So he has his head covered. Christ is his covering. Now, if he's not under Christ and he haven't given his life to Christ, then no, he's not under Christ. But his head is not covered because he is the image of the glory of God and Christ is his covering. So, but the woman is the glory of the man, right? It says, for man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. So he's telling you in the beginning, right? Woman was created from Adam's rib. So woman came from man. But he says, for indeed, man was not created for woman's sakes, but he's letting you know in the beginning, this is how it was structured in order. God said that Adam was alone. This ain't gonna make you somebody, a helpmeet, a perfect fit for you. So woman was created for man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman should have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. We're going to come back to that. However, in the Lord, he's telling you, however, and say, but it says, however, in the Lord. So both of them being in the Lord, the man and the woman, it says neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. So it's telling you, even after that, every man now comes out of a woman. Even though in the beginning the order was set how it was supposed to go in order, but he's saying they're not independent of one another, because now after Eve came out of the rib of the man, every man now comes out of a woman. But at the end, he brings you back into alignment. He said that God is the originator of it all. So if he's the originator of it all, then we got to follow his blueprint and how he structured it. Now, let's go back and talk about the angels. Verse 10. This is a heavenly mystery. Now, angels observe how we honor spiritual order. Angels observe how we honor spiritual order. How we honor reverence and authority. They're watching. We don't think they're watching, but they're watching how you honor the order that God has given. A woman's head covering is a sign to the angels that you are in alignment with divine structure in the spirit. It shows that you honor God's house and how he wants to rule it. Head covering also means there's a visible mark of consecration and protection in the spirit for you from spiritual intrusion. A covering in biblical term is not suppression. It is protection. It is empowerment. And it is visible in the spirit realm. So your honor and your submission is visible to the angels in the spirit realm. That's why the title of today's message was what? See, y'all was listening. I like to do pop-up quizzes. A crown of a submitted wife. Y'all gonna get it. I like to do pop-up quizzes. Got pop-up on you now. Okay. That's why it's the crown of the submitted wife. You don't understand. When you honor the order of how God say to do it, and you submit to your husband, you don't understand. You have a crown on your head in the spirit. Submission places you under God's protection plan. Spiritual alignment, it releases your authority. When a wife is submitted to the order of God in her marriage, the enemy has no legal access to penetrate her household because he comes through rebellion and pride and disorder, especially rebellion. I was talking to my husband, I always talk to him about this, but I was like, what is going on with, I sum everybody up as a pastor, but I should say minister, but what is going on with these ministers' wives being sick all the time and dying before their husbands? And it is so crazy because it really led me to this, because when that order is broken and that rebellion comes in, for a lot of minister wives, sickness is the number one thing that takes them out because of rebellion. She becomes a spiritual gatekeeper when she submits. Not from the place of resistance, but from the place of a rightful positioning. James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I want you to look at the order of this. Submission comes before resistance. That's the order. Submission comes before resistance. When a woman rightfully submits, you have to understand her very presence, it disarms any form of hellish attacks, any demonic attacks. Submission doesn't mean silence. It means you're carrying heaven's weight in the earth. Legally, you're carrying it. Spiritually, you're carrying it. And prophetically, you're carrying it. Angels respect and they respond to divine order. It's in their nature to respond to divine order. When a woman honors God's design, she is rightfully positioned in the spirit realm. And angels can now move on her behalf. And this is because the angels, they see that you have a covering over your head in the spirit realm. This goes also for the single ladies too. Your spiritual father is your covering. If you're submitted to leadership, your spiritual father is your covering. Angels are assigned. You have to understand, angels are assigned to order. They're assigned to rank. They're assigned to heaven's protocols. They respond to spiritual alignment. So when a home is in divine order, order becomes the conduit of the glory in which the blessings begin to flow. So when we cry out for revival in our homes and breakthrough in our marriages, glory in our worship, but you got to remember that God is not a God of chaos. He only dwells where there is order. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. It says, let all things be done. Let all things be done decently and in order. So submission does not mean you lost your power. It means that you're walking in your authority. You got to understand, the world think we backwards anyways. But they're the one that's backwards. The kingdom is right side up. The world wants you to believe that submission is control and oppression. But in the kingdom of God, remember, everything is right side up. So it seems the opposite. So for instance, the word tells us you got to go low in order to go high. It tells us that the last is going to be the first and the first going to be the last. The word tells us you have to serve in order to lead. And if you desire to be great, it says you got to be a servant amongst everybody. It says you have to surrender in order to receive power. It tells us that we have to do what? Submit in order to step into authority. This is why submission is so misunderstood. It looks like you're losing to the carnal eye. But in the spirit, you're actually in alignment and you're increasing. So when a wife submits, she's not giving away her power. She's actually receiving jurisdiction. She actually expands into divine jurisdiction. It's a zone where the authority of heaven protects and empowers her. She's coming under divine covering. She's operating in a heavenly authority that hell can do nothing with. It cannot even challenge order. It can't even understand order. So in fact, God would never trust you. You might want to write this down. God will never trust you with more authority than you are willing to come under. I'll say that again. God would never trust you with more authority than you are willing to come under. Submission is not weakness. Submission is governmental access. So when I say submission is governmental access, what I'm saying is that submission places you in alignment with heaven's divine government. And from that position, you gain access to kingdom authority. You gain access to kingdom backing. The kingdom backs you. Now that scripture comes into place, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, you can't be a rebellious wife and then turn around and start binding and loosing stuff. It don't work like that. So submission places you in alignment with heaven's government. Now, write this down. Submission equals alignment with divine government. Submission equals alignment with divine government. So let's talk about what kingdom government is. Now, God's kingdom operates on a spiritual structure, and it operates also in delegated authority. It doesn't operate in chaos. Remember, it operates in spiritual structure and delegated authority. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, heaven functions by order, not rebellion. So submission is how you position yourself with God's structure so that what flows from the top, which is the head, Christ, everything he has is ours, right? But we need that to flow into the natural realm, right? We know that all things that is his is ours. And it's like we miss all the rest of the steps of that, and we'll say that, but we'll be totally out of alignment. There's a blockage. It can't get to you if you stepped out of alignment. So submission is how you position yourself within God's structure so that what flows from the top, which is the head, is Christ, can actually flow to you and through you. Now, in the spirit realm, government refers to the way that authority flows. In the spirit realm, government refers to the way that authority flows. No different than how the natural realm, right? So write this down. Access, because I told you have access. Access equals legal right to operate. Access equals the legal right to operate. So when you submit, you are legally authorized in the spirit to bind and loose. Number two, you gain divine backing for your words, for your decrees, and for your prayers. We're talking about, remember, access equals legal right to operate. Number three, when you submit, heaven's power flows through your obedience. Heaven's power does not flow through your emotions. Heaven's power flows through your obedience, not your emotions. I need you to do it, Lord. Do it right now. Do it. No, the angels are looking like, we can't do it. We only operate in order. You don't have no covering on your head. You just stepped out of divine alignment. But you're saying, do it, Lord. You crying. You snotting. You got tissue everywhere. And the angel's like, I need you to get back in order so I can answer your prayers. So God does not authorize rebellion. He'll never authorize rebellion. He authorizes those who walk in humility and in alignment. When a wife, a child of God, or a leader walks in submission, this is what they're saying. I want you to understand what they're saying. When someone walks in submission, whether it's a wife, a child of God, or, you know, you're submitting under leadership, this is what the person is saying. This is what the declaration in the earth looks like. You're saying, I'm not just gifted. Number one, you're saying, I'm not just gifted, I'm aligned. You're saying, I'm not just anointed, I'm authorized. So when you walk in alignment, that's what you're saying. That's the declaration that you carry. You're saying, I'm not just gifted, I'm aligned, I'm not just anointed, I'm authorized. So rebellion may look strong. Because it do look strong. We got a whole lot of feminist women's movements. It looks strong. Looks strong. Whole group of them. It looks strong. But you got to understand, they're operating illegally. And the angels do not obey chaos. Submission might look quiet, but you got to understand, it moves with heaven's full backing. So submission is the throne room access pass, access granted. Submission is the throne room's access pass. You want a VIP access pass to the throne room? That's the access pass you need right there. But you only get it through submission, wives. Now let's talk a little bit about the biblical foundation, meaning submission precedes authority. Submission precedes authority. Let's begin with one of the clearest pictures of this principle in all of Scripture. That's going to be Luke 7. And we're going to do 7 through 9. Now, this is the centurion coming to Jesus. He says, I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. He said, just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this, he says. I know this. Because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Now, the Roman centurion didn't ask Jesus to come to his house. He said, just speak the word. Why? Because he understood the principle of what? Delegated authority. He said, I am a man under authority. He took the natural and to help him interpret the spirit. Yes, yes. He said, I'm a man under authority. That's why he said, I know. I'm a man under authority, he said, so I know how authority works. And not only did he say, I'm a man under authority, so that's one thing to have an understanding what authority looks like when you're under authority. But he had the other side too. He said, and I got delegated authority. He said, so I have somebody over me. So I'm under authority. And then I have delegated authority because I can tell my soldiers to do this and do that. But that authority has been delegated to me. So the Roman military taught its officers that their authority is only valid to the degree that you yourself are submitted to Rome. That's what they taught their Roman soldiers. The Roman military taught the officers, your authority is only valid to the degree that you yourself are submitted to Rome. So the centurion applied that principle spiritually. If Jesus is submitted to the Father, his words carry power and they carry weight. So spiritual authority is always delegated. Spiritual authority is always delegated. So in the spirit realm, there is no such thing as independent power. It's always delegated. Authority flows from headship. Christ received his authority from who? The Father. It wasn't independent. Even though he was the only one to have the claim that he was equal with him. But he still received his authority from the Father. Man receives his authority from who? Christ. And then a wife steps into her authority through her alignment, not in rebellion, but in the cooperation with God's structure. So that's why submission doesn't make you powerless. It makes you powerful with protection. So let's talk a little bit about the kingdom flow of power. The kingdom flow of power, how power flows. God never bypasses, I need you to understand this, that God will never bypass his own structure to bless you. He would never bypass his own structure just to bless you. He blesses through divine order. That's why submission is so offensive to the enemy. Because as a submitted woman, you got to understand, a submitted woman is a dangerous woman. She is in line with government. She is in line with the government of heaven. And she cannot be touched. James 4:7 says, I don't believe I have it up there. It says, so then surrender to God. This is the TPT version. We actually just read this, but this is the TPT version. It says, so then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. Notice the sequence. Submit to God, resist the devil, then he flees, right? So, no submission, no resistance, no alignment, no authority. The enemy doesn't flee because we yell at him with scripture. Okay? We don't... Because he's just trembling because you just yelled at him. No. He flees because we're in our divine rank. So good. And he recognizes it in the spirit realm. So I need you to know that submission is actually also the mantle that grants you jurisdiction. You cannot carry what you will not come under. This is why spiritual warfare is ineffective for many women. They're trying to cast out what they're still agreeing with. You're trying to cast out chaos and disorder. You are in divine alignment with it. How can you cast it out? You're trying to walk in authority without honoring authority. But wives who submit to their husbands and the Lord, you have to know you are clothed in power. And you can operate in authority. When you submit, you become, write these things down. When you submit, you become these things. Number one, you become a governor in your home. Because now you're authorized to legislate in the spirit realm. I'll say that again. When you submit, you become a governor in your home. Because now you are authorized to legislate in the spirit realm. The second thing you become a watchman over your children. You become a holy priest in intercession. That is 1, 2, 3. Yes. Number four, you become a queen in the spirit, crowned by submission and covered by glory. And number five, and you protect yourself from sickness that often comes in through rebellion. Let's go to Job 22 and 28. It says, you will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. So submission is what gives your words weight. So when wives submit in faith, they reign in power. Submission doesn't rob you of your voice, ladies. It gives it prophetic weight. Submission does not rob you of your future. It actually secures your future under heaven's order. Submission doesn't make you invisible. It makes you indestructible. Psalms 91 and 1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, shadow in this scripture here and implies a covering. Covering implies authority. Authority implies protection. So, wives of God, you're not powerless. You're not losing influence. You're stepping into your mantle. You're stepping into your measure. You're stepping into your multiplied authority. As you submit in faith, heaven will hear your voice and hell will recognize your rank. Your household will flourish. The oil of the anointing will rest on everything you touch. Because the enemy has long used these lies to confuse women, and women of God at that, especially wives, that if you submit, you'll be losing your voice. If you follow, girl, you'll be disappointed. That's what the enemy tell you. If you come under your husband, you can't lead, you can't speak, you can't be an influence. That's what he tell you. But God never silences his daughters. Who you know does that? Not even natural fathers do that. Do you? Let's look at this from a natural standpoint. Now, we're talking about imperfect people. Now, if you have, think about yourself, and if you already have this, then you know to a greater degree. But think about this from a natural standpoint. You have two children. One of them is a girl, and the other one is a boy. Now, do you love them any less? Do you love the boy more than you love the girl? No. It don't work that way, right? So why would you think God would want to silence you and not use you, but just use your husband? That's when you know, okay, the enemy lying to me. Because in the natural, that don't make sense. To imperfect men, why would my father do that? So he never silences his daughters. He anoints them. He positions them. He crowns them with wisdom, right? He crowns his daughter with grace. He crowns his daughter with favor. What did the Bible say? When a man finds a woman, he finds what? Not only a good thing, but he finds some little bit of, he got a little extra. What? Favor. So you got to know what you have. Submission in marriage is not the silencing of a woman. It is actually the refining and the releasing of her voice in proper power and proper order. In the kingdom, I guess you can write this down too. In the kingdom, submission is a throne. In the kingdom, submission is a throne. It is a seat of influence. You got to understand, isn't that how Esther got her seat? That's how Esther got her seat. Submission is a throne. It's a seat of influence. Submission is governed power. It's not a gag order. Don't let the enemy lie to you. The world's version of submission silences women. God's version of submission positions women. So we're getting ready to close in a little bit. I want to talk to you. We're going to dive into the truth that sets daughters free. Because I want you to leave here free. I want you to leave here with an understanding, and I want you to leave here free. So let's go to Proverbs 31. Right? That's the chapter right there. Proverbs 31, woman. Proverbs 31. I call it the blueprint of a submitted reigning wife. Proverbs 31, we're going to read verse 25 through 26. And it says that, I want you to hear this about you. It says that she is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. Her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness as loving instruction pours from her lips. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see any trace of oppression in that. I saw no trace of oppression. The woman that they describe in here is a regal woman. She's confident. She has a voice. And it carries weight. Her voice doesn't dominate. It doesn't belittle. It's prophetic. It's powerful. It's filled with revelation, wisdom, instruction, kindness. Submission didn't strip her of her influence. It established it. Proverbs 31 and 23. It says her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land. Now her husband was respected at the city gate. Why? Why would they put this here? Her husband is respected in the city gates, and he sits among the elders of the land because her character brought honor to their name. So when a wife submits in the spirit, she's not hidden, but she is hidden in Christ. Where her voice becomes a tool for heaven. So submission is a throne. It's not a muzzle. The enemy fears submission, not because wives are quiet, but because their voice is aligned with heaven, and that alone gives it weight. Proverbs 14 and 1. Proverbs 14 and 1 says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Now, she doesn't build it with arguments. You can't build no home with no argument. You're not going to have no home. Okay? I'm just telling you that right now. Right? She builds it with alignment. She builds it with honor. She builds it with strategy. She builds it with timing. She builds it with prayer. She builds it with divine authority. So we were never meant to be silent. You were meant to be crowned. You, daughters of God, you were not made for chains. You were not created to be voiceless. You were not created to be forgotten or powerless. You were created to be clothed in dignity, crowned with wisdom, covered in glory. Submission is not the end of your voice. It's the refining of your sound in the spirit. Submission doesn't dim your light. It's the focusing of your fire. It's not the weakening of your strength. It's the unlocking of divine power from heaven's throne to earth. Proverbs 12 and 4. This is a beautiful scripture. One of my favorites. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who shames him, on the other hand, is like rottenness in his bones. My God. You make the man bones hurt. He he could feel it in his body. Lord help. He said, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. So the crown rests, remember, on the head. It's lifted up. It's visible. It's carried with honor. The submitted wife is not beneath. She's the crown of her husband. She's above. She's placed as a crown of glory upon her husband, her marriage, ultimately her legacy. You're not a burden, wives. You're not a background character. You're not a side piece. You're a crown. Amen. That's why it's important that you walk in divine order, because if you are the crown of your husband, you are the symbol of his honor. You're the symbol of the strength in your marriage. You're the symbol of God's covering. You are the prophetic fulfillment of what the enemy fears. A woman who knows her place in God and honors her husband in the Lord and commands the atmosphere in her home with grace and spiritual power. You were never meant to disappear in your marriage. You were meant to rise in your God-given identity, to speak with wisdom, to pray with power, to nurture your home like a gatekeeper to your destiny. Your submission sharpens your words. Your obedience gives weight to your voice. Your humility, it unlocks favor before kings. You are a crown. You're the covered. You're called. You're crowned with dignity. You're covered in divine alignment, bless you. You're called to reign in grace. You're a builder. It says a wise woman builds her house with wisdom. You're a builder. You're a warrior. You're a prophetess. You're a wife who walks in heaven's wisdom. You're a daughter who wears her father's approval. You're a queen who submits in love, not because it's forced, because you honor your father's alignment. You're reigning in power. You're not just a wife. You're a key to kingdom legacy. So walk in it. Take back your authority. Don't let the devil fool you to align yourself with chaos and rebellion. Because when you do, you step out of the shadow of your father, and your authority is not recognized in the spirit realm. Angels cannot assist you, and your access to heaven's government is denied. But you're more than that. So, I'm going to need someone's help. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So, how many, I need someone to count the women in here as well as the girls. Thank you. I need you to count. 12 women and girls. Okay. Where did Alana go? Can you bring her in? Children's Church? Okay. I need her. All right. 13 in the room? Okay. want you to let them choose a crown. And if you run out, let me know. I got some more. Yes, you can put it. Once you get it, you can put it on. Now, if you need assistance, you're next to somebody, do that. Put your crown on. Yes. That's what I wanted you to do, Sunley. Thank you. Take pictures, yes, within. Then we're going to take some independent and a group picture as well. You can get the instrumental ready, yeah, but don't play it yet. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, I got one. Alana, can you help me out? Yeah. Don't forget Michaela. Don't forget any of the women. Thank you. That's good. Okay. No.
You gotta go over.
Put it over on top of.
Like
yeah.
This?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. Okay. Did we get everyone? Yes. Malia and Summer. Yes. We need one more? Okay. All right, so I have all the women come up in a line. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen. You too, Michaela. Amen. Forgot one thing. All the women, get your phone. That was the first instruction. I forgot. All the women, get your phone. And I want you to take a selfie of yourself wearing this crown. And the reason why I want you guys to do this first is because when the enemy begins to talk to you, I want you to pull that picture out and remind yourself who you are. I want you to pull it out as arsenal and say, I know that's not my father. This is who I am. I am a daughter of God. Yes, take a selfie. Make sure you take yourself a selfie. All right. Amen. All right, so we need, I'm going to need you, Apostle, let me see. Thank you, Father. If I get Zay to take over for the pictures, please. Thank you. But because I'm going to need Apostle and Pastor Kirby to pray for the women. Oh, who is it? Okay. Did you take a selfie of yourself? Okay, take a selfie of yourself. Make sure, every woman, make sure you got a selfie of yourself. You guys look beautiful. Y'all do. This is awesome. Amen.